want you to have your notes from last week, and if you failed to bring them, hopefully you'll be able to retrieve some. I don't know whether any left. There are a couple left back there. So wave your hand around and Alan will find one and fetch it for you. How's that for English today? Fetch. All right. We're dealing with the subject of revelation. In the last 2 weeks, we have looked at general revelation, which is revelation that is available to everybody all the time. We're moving tonight to special revelation. Whereas general revelation has been given to all humanity in general since the creation of Adam and Eve, special revelation has been given to specific persons at specific times. While general revelation has continued, special revelation has ceased with the completion of the New Testament. And that's an important thing for us to understand. General revelation is still there for everybody to see. But special revelation is no longer being given, and it stopped being given when the New Testament was completed. So when somebody comes along and tells you that their prophet in their particular cult has given some revelation or been received some revelation, realize it's not biblical. When somebody tells you, God spoke to me, realize it's not revelation. It's not being given today. I'm not saying somebody didn't have direction from God, but it's not infallible and it is not inerrant, whatever they think. And I want you to realize before we get into this, if tongues have ceased, and they have, so has prophecy. So has special revelation. And somebody thinks that he has the gift of prophecy but denies the existence of tongues today needs to study 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13 again. Now, as we look at this, there are a number of examples of special revelation. We're only going to look at a few of them. There are more than these. This is just a limited sampling. In fact, I'm only giving you five different ones. Miracles. Miracles are unusual events which accomplish some useful work. They reveal God's existence, God's presence, God's concern, God's power. Prophets in the Old Testament, some of them performed miracles. In the New Testament, the apostles performed miracles. Of course, the Lord Jesus performed miracles. We talk about something being miraculous today, and we're not saying that God doesn't work miracles, because God still works miracles. Every time somebody gets saved, a miracle has been performed. But no man has the ability to perform miracles today. Personal experiences with God were another example of special revelation. When Bible characters had God speak directly with them, or where they spoke directly with God, and God revealed various truths to them. I've given a list of names here that are found in the scriptures where God and the person communicated directly. You can't help but be reminded of personal experiences such as those of Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, Elijah, and of course in the New Testament, Jesus, John the Baptist, Peter, James, John, Philip, Paul, Ananias, and there would be others. Another example of special revelation were the prophecies given to the prophets. The prophets passed these revelations on, sometimes orally, meaning by mouth, by word of mouth, sometimes in writing. Then there's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is a revelation of God the Father. He is a special revelation from God the Father to man. We have a verse that I want to take a look at. It's Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, which indicate this very thing, that Jesus himself is a revelation from God. It says there, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that means at various times and in various ways, wasn't always the same way, God spake or spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God often spoke to the ancestors of the Jewish people by prophets. Those were examples of direct special revelation. But it says here in verse 2, God hath or has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus was an example of special revelation. In John chapter 14, Jesus was asked, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And his answer is, if ye had known me, John 14, 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And then Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You see, if you have been with Jesus, he has the exact characteristics of his Father. Eternal, omnipotent, omniscient. You understand? If you've seen the characteristics of Jesus, you've seen the characteristics of the Father. Yet at the same time, no one has ever seen God the Father. The examples in the scripture seem to be when God was seen, it was the second person of the Trinity rather than God the Father himself. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Notice the you and the thou in the same sentence, same verse. You is plural, so that would be with you disciples. They're in the upper room following the Last Supper. And thou is you singular and has to refer to Philip, all right? How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Nobody's really going to be able to explain that one totally. There's no question. There is a mutual being there. There's one God, okay? He manifests himself in three persons, but you can't really separate them completely. You might in your thinking, but your thinking might very well not be biblical. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Interesting. Jesus dwells in you too, as does the Holy Spirit, as does God the Father. Isn't that interesting? You're indwelt not only by the Holy Spirit, but by the entire triune God. You take him with you wherever you go. Be careful where you go, all right? Not a good idea to take him places he's not interested in going. The scriptures themselves are another example of special revelation. As we look, we've seen some examples of special revelation. Now let's look at something else about special revelation. Special revelation was progressive, which means that God did not give all the information at any one time. Okay, he didn't unload it all in Genesis. But the revelation continued to grow in volume or in content. What he revealed to Adam and Eve was far less than what he had revealed by the time he got to the Apostle John in Revelation, okay? Did Paul know more than Elijah or than Isaiah? And the answer is yes, because they had already gained the revelation, the special revelation that these Old Testament characters had and were in the scriptures. And now in the New Testament, additional revelation is being given from time to time to time. It was never unloaded all at the same time. To us, the scriptures are complete. To those living in the Old and New Testament eras, the scriptures were not complete, and each book was added, there was additional revelation given. So God added to the body of revealed truth from time to time, so that the body of revealed truth gradually grew and increased. Thus, people living in New Testament times had more information available to them than people living in Old Testament times. Now, once the New Testament was completed, no new revelation is being given. So you are not going to get new revelation. You have all you're going to get in the scriptures themselves. Now, you can grow in your understanding of the scriptures, but it's not new revelation like it was when the scriptures were being written. People living in New Testament times had more information available to them than people living in Old Testament times. Have you studied the book of Job at all? How much scripture did Job have available to him? And the answer is none. None. He did pretty well for not having had all the information that we have. You might think back, well, why didn't he just do something that you know you could do in the New Testament era? Well, he didn't have that information available to him. He had no idea what was going on. And he did his best, which wasn't as good as he would like to have done, but he just couldn't help that. Something else that's very important for you to understand, at the same time, although the body of revealed truth was increasing gradually over time, no later revelation ever contradicted any earlier revelation in any way. Now, it might have clarified it, but it would not have contradicted it. So is there any lack of harmony in the scriptures? No. You might have a lack of harmony in your understanding, which is something all of us have to deal with. But there was no lack of harmony from one book to the other, because everything, every writer wrote under the direction of God the Holy Spirit, and he never contradicted himself. Understanding this important truth that no later revelation ever contradicted any earlier revelation in any way enables believers to test every teaching to determine whether it's truth or error, whether it is of God, of men, or even of Satan. Oh, Satan did get some instruction in from time to time. You do know that, don't you? He said things to Eve in the garden. He said things to Jesus that weren't scriptural in the temptation. Oh, he's a liar, and he demonstrated that. Any teaching or practice which does not conform to the scriptures is in error and does not come from God. You must understand that. The scriptures have no errors. So if something comes along and contradicts what the scriptures say, it's not from God. It's not biblical. We need to be very careful about teaching that we hear that is not scriptural. Don't buy into it. Progressive revelation ceased to be given when the New Testament was completed, with the completion of the New Testament. Now, at the same time that progressive revelation ceased, special revelation also ceased when the scriptures were completed. General revelation, however, is still there for all to see. However, the Bible indicates that special revelation ceased to be given with the completion of the New Testament. This means clearly that God is not speaking today to anyone aside from what he has already revealed in the Bible. I'm not saying God doesn't lead people or doesn't direct people or direct things to be done, but there is no new revelation being given. God is not speaking to the Pope. He's not speaking to the Mormons or to any other cultists. He's not speaking to the charismatics. Sincere believers make a mistake when they carelessly state that the Lord spoke to them and told them to do something. I'm not saying the Lord might not have directed them to do something, but he did not speak to them, because that would have conveyed divine revelation. There is none of that going on. So what about a preacher that says that he believes he has the gift of prophecy? He needs to go back to the Bible and study it a little bit more. He does not have the gift of prophecy today. God might have led some or prompted some to do something, but he did not convey divine revelation to them. He might have guided their thinking. He does that all the time. He might have guided them as to what they ought to do when given a choice. But this does not constitute special revelation and is not infallible or inerrant. Now, what I'm going to do at this point basically is review what we already did in 1 Corinthians, but my guess is that some of that didn't sink in as well as maybe it needs to. And so I'm going to basically duplicate it, not because I chose to do it, but because the book I'm using and the book I have been preaching through just happened to have come from the same mind and same writer, all right? So let me go through it gradually, and hopefully you will be helpful to you. How's that? 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. For to one is given by the Spirit. Now remember, this is before the New Testament was completed. The word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, tongues are languages, okay? In this passage, as we've already mentioned, while we went through 1 Corinthians 12, two different Greek words are translated another. You can't tell this in the English. One of them means another of the same sort or another of the same kind, whereas the other one means another of a different sort or of a different kind. In this list of nine gifts, the term meaning another of a different sort or different kind is used two times, with faith and with diverse kinds of tongues. The other uses of another are all the Greek word meaning another of the same sort or of the same kind. In the Greek text, this change of words translated another clearly divides these sign gifts into three different groups. So that group one is to one is given the word of wisdom, to another of the same sort, the word of knowledge. You notice that those gifts seem to be similar. Group two is to another of a different sort is given faith. Now that's not saving faith. This is faith to move mountains. To another of the same sort, the gifts of healing. To another of the same sort, the working of miracles. To another of the same sort, prophecy. To another of the same sort, discerning of spirits. Why did they need that gift? Because there might have been demons that were influencing somebody, and the people in the church needed to know that was demonic, not from God. Group three, to another of a different sort, diverse kinds of tongues or languages. To another of the same sort, discerning of spirit. To another, the interpretation or the translation of tongues. And then you come over to 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, we see that charity, that's love. It's the kind of love which gives itself completely on behalf of someone else, or to someone else, without expecting anything in return. It's the kind of love that God demonstrated when he sent Christ to die for our sins. It's the kind of love the husband is to have for his wife. It's the kind of love the people and pastor are to have for each other. All right? Charity never faileth. It will always exist. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. It does not mean that they will fail to come to pass. It means they will cease to be given. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. It's not talking about that instrument inside your mouth. It's talking about the gift of tongues, the gift of languages. They shall cease to be given. Whether there be knowledge, that's the spiritual gift of knowledge in group one above, okay? It's not knowing facts like math and language skills, not that kind of knowledge. it shall vanish away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Notice those words, in part. The gift of knowledge and the gift of prophecy are partial. They're not complete. But when that which is perfect is come, perfect means complete. It's, people want to say, this is Christ. No, it can't be Christ because it's neuter gender. If it were referring to he who is perfect, it would have to be masculine gender. It cannot refer to Christ. I know people like to think that anyway. It doesn't matter. If they'd study a little Greek, they'd have found this out in the first year of Greek or first semester. But when that which is perfect or complete, in contrast to impart, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, most of us were children at one time, weren't we? Anybody that wasn't a child at some time or other? Can't remember back that far, right? Yeah, that's a long time ago for a couple of us. I won't give our names out, but I'm one of them, all right? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Hey, we were kids. We were children. We acted like it. We thought like it. We talked like it. But then we grew up. Then I became a man. And I put away childish things. I hope not to ever get back into the childish things, you know, second childhood type thing. I'm sure I won't. Some of you might, but I'm sure I won't. Yeah, right. Don't we hope? So when I start to get childish, it's time to tell me it's time for you to retire and go back home. For now we see through a glass darkly. It's a dim, unpolished mirror. But then, face to face, they'd be looking directly at it. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. The whole point is this. During the infancy of the New Testament era, these special gifts were given to guide the churches. But when the scriptures were complete, the maturity of the church era, they had the scriptures to guide them. They didn't need these special gifts any longer. It is specifically stated that one of the gifts from each of the three groups in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 will pass away. There's the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of knowledge will all cease, and I mean cease, to be given. The gift of prophecies in the second group, the gift of tongues in the third group, the gift of knowledge in the first group. What I'm suggesting is that these three spiritual gifts are representative of the other members of the same group, and that all nine of these gifts will pass away at the same time, which occurred about AD 95 when the last book of the New Testament was completed. These gifts will pass away or will cease to be given when that which is perfect is come. As I've said, that which is perfect is neuter gender and cannot possibly refer to Christ because Christ is masculine in gender. That which is perfect means that which is complete. The context is speaking of that which is perfect or complete in contrast to those things which are in part. And as I have said several times this evening, it is best understood to refer to the completed New Testament. We know in part means that the spiritual gift of knowledge discussed in this context is partial. We prophesy in part means that the gift of prophecy discussed in this chapter is partial. According to 1 Corinthians 14:4, the gift of tongues, when interpreted or when translated, is on a par with the gift of prophecy and can therefore also be said to be in part. I like to think of it as having a few pieces of a puzzle. You know, one of these thousand word puzzles. When you've got just a few pieces, you really don't have a good idea what that puzzle is going to look like. But when you've got 950 of them already put in there, you've got a pretty good idea of what that puzzle picture is going to look like. The one who has these pieces can learn a good deal about the completed puzzle by seeing part of it, but he won't see the whole picture until he has all the pieces arranged in the right order. The completed New Testament will complete the partial picture painted by the gifts of knowledge, prophecy, and tongues. That which is in part shall be done away refers specifically in this context to the passing away of the spiritual gifts of knowledge, prophecy, and tongues. This means that at the time of the completion of the New Testament scriptures, the spiritual gifts of knowledge, prophecy, and tongues were done away, meaning they ceased to be given because they were no longer needed. Likewise, the other six gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10, of which the gifts of knowledge, prophecy, and tongues were representative, were also done away. They also ceased to be given because they too were no longer necessary. Revelation was now complete and could no longer be said to be in part or partial. When dealing with the phrase, "when I was a child," it pictures Paul's experience as a child. In his infancy, Paul had special needs which he would no longer have when he reached maturity. You remember, you've raised babies, many of you. They're totally dependent on mom or dad, mom for nursing, dad, mom for changing diapers. They can't walk. They have to be carried. But as they get older and older and older, pretty soon they are able to function on their own as mature adults. Hopefully. I've known some adults that didn't seem quite so mature, and I'm sure you have too. None of them are here. They're in other churches, of course, as you understand. But when he reached maturity, he'd no longer need these special have these special needs he had in infancy. Similarly, in the infancy of the New Testament era, things were needed temporarily, which would not be needed after a period of maturation. When Paul became a man, he put away childish things. In the context, Paul's becoming a man is compared to when that which is perfect is come. When Paul became a man, he no longer needed the things characteristic of childhood. Similarly, when the scriptures would be completed, believers would no longer need the sign gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10 to accredit the ministry or the minister. They would no longer need things characteristic of the infancy of the New Testament era. The scriptures would then take over this task. In the phrase, "now we see through a glass darkly," now refers to the time prior to the completion of the scriptures. In the phrase, "but then face to face," then refers to the time following the completion of the scriptures. It has nothing to do with our someday seeing Christ face to face. Instead, it means that we will no longer be looking through a cloudy pane of glass and that we will have no hindrance in our ability to see clearly. The completed scriptures will clear up many things which were not yet clearly seen by the Corinthian believers. This would not take place for another 40 years or so. In the phrase, "now I know in part," now refers to the time prior to the completion of the scriptures. In the phrase, "but then shall I know even as also I am known," then refers to the time following the completion of the scriptures. God's revelation will have been completed. In summary, special revelation through the 9 sign gifts was only partial and temporary. They ceased to be given when the New Testament canon was completed. And the Lord willing, next time. That's the second Tuesday. That's Dennis's opportunity, okay? So 2 weeks from tonight, we'll go on with inspiration, all right? Let's pray, and then Jess will come, and he will give us some prayer requests. Our Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to study this section of the idea of the various gifts and revelation and special revelation. Help us to keep it straight in Jesus' name. Amen.